Hey there. Yeah, I know I got to do a more lively intro. I'm just trying to get time to sit down with the guitar and do a more lively one. You look like you got a little droopy microphone syndrome going on there, Robert. I guess we need to...
Pfizer can probably help us out with that.
Yeah. Yeah, I get that. All right. Anyway, it's radio fishing time and time for a fishing report. And if Frank would quit playing the guitar, shut up. Okay. Boy, that guy's annoying. You know, he just keeps strumming on. I tried playing live a couple times and that just wasn't going to get it. So, anyway, we got to record some more stuff. I'm going to do a bass solo on one of them.
There you go.
Yeah, that'll be fun. I'm working on it. Almost got it down. All right. Anyway, fishing report time. What do we got today in the wide, wonderful, wicked world of wonderful fishing?
Well, we've been talking about for a while now that the balloon's getting ready to pop, and I think by this weekend it's going to pop. We're supposed to be in the 90s today, and every day that water temperature is coming up. It's still kind of chilly, but, I mean, the past 2 days ago was 70 in the morning, but it was 76 by 2 o'clock that afternoon. Surface temperature.
Surface temps. It doesn't affect the deeper temperatures,
no,
but it does,
no.
Does blow out that surface temp.
Definitely. You know, water's gin clear out there from basically Cape Hayes all the way out because wind hasn't been terribly bad. I mean, this is the peak time of year where it's just, even if you don't want to fish and just want to enjoy all of everything that's going on out there and see everything, it's just cool. You know, this is a time of year when we went down there to Pine Island that one year, and I got to see that big leopard ray, and you followed it just swimming along that, like, five-footer, and it was just so, so awesome.
Did you hear what happened to Carl in the leopard ray the other day?
Yeah, you told me about that.
Kolaktik jumps up, lands on the gondola boat. He's screaming and hollering. I don't think we're going to see him for a while. He got his boat back.
Did he?
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be running the bus anymore. I think he's going to be back out on his, you know, scream machine, so
nice.
He'll be out there, you know, trying to break that for the next week.
Yeah, he'll be broken day. Another week.
So,
no, fishing is starting to really, really change drastically.
Changing into a clam? Is it changing? What is it changing into, Robert?
It's going from a caterpillar to a beautiful butterfly.
Oh, God, you couldn't resist. Like, you just couldn't, like, okay, that's all right. It's okay. So, my psychotic friend, tell me about fishing in the Peace River.
Peace River is starting to slow down a little bit. You know,
a little bit? Now, come on. The Peace River, I can't find a fish up there to save.
Yeah, but see, every time you talk about it, I'd say that I hear very minimal reports. Then you contradict me and say how crappy it is. So I figured I was safe to go that it's mediocre, and you were going to say, hey, it's good. Now it's like, oh, crap. Okay, I can't win for losing.
No, I'm telling you right now, there is fish up there. It's just, I think it's just me. I think I've got the Peace River curse going on. I think I'm just doomed not to be catching fish there right now.
Well, and I'm hearing sporadic reports, but it's definitely by all means nothing.
Not worth driving up there right now.
I'd go up there to sightsee, and if I catch a fish along the way, great, but I'm not going to devote any time to it.
We had a beautiful day up there exploring in the creeks and stuff, you know, and stump jumping and all that, but... You know, outside of it, this is a good time.
Stump jumping, nice.
Yeah.
Well, nice.
I sent the transducer on the thing because I was going over a big stump and a log. Had the boat hung up. Me and Terry had to get all the way back to the back of the boat, push pole.
Wow.
Yeah, well, you know, I was going over another log.
Like
I was,
you said, exploring.
I was trying to get up. I know where there's a great fishing spot. But I'm going to put 16-footer together to get up there at 24, and then trying to turn a 24-foot boat around in 22 feet of creek.
Yeah, doesn't work very well.
Yeah, that's when you need a good fiberglass push pole,
right?
Because you're putting a lot of torque on that thing.
Absolutely. Well, so, I mean, the fishing basically from up in the river has been very slow, obviously.
There's
but dumb.
a lot of boats anchored up the 41 bridge.
All the thread fins moved in there the other day, so everyone thinks it's just hot and heavy, and the only thing that has been really hot and heavy has been the cobia.
Cobia and sharks.
There's been some real...
There's sharks there without a... Hands down, good shark fishing. Mm-hmm. I'd say mediocre on the mackerel. Real spotty on the trout. Maybe some black drum I've heard a little bit up there, but
whiting and some sugar trout have moved in there too.
So the whiting and the sugar trout moving in.
I think that's why the cobia and the sharks have kind of followed them up in there.
Yeah, because you go there, chum bag it off, get a couple hundred yards away from the bridge, though. If you're right up on the bridge, you're doomed. You probably won't catch as many fish. You need to be 100 yards away from that bridge with a chum bag. You know, either side, depending upon which way the current's going, but get 100 yards away from it if you're going to try and do the shark and the cobia. Let the chum bring them to you. And that way, if you do hook a fish, you're probably going to land them. But if you're, you know, a cast away from it, 30, 60 feet, by the time you hook up the fish, he screams out 50 yards of line, he's wrapped six pilings, you're done.
Right,
it's
exactly.
All over. And
cobia love structure. They will take you right to a piling or a crab trap line in a heartbeat if they have the ability to.
And I think the weirdest part about it is if you're that close, you don't give the... It's too noisy underneath that bridge during the day. The fish can't... They don't function well. It's like being next to, you know, when you pull up at a stoplight and one of these goon balls has that whoomp, whoomp, whoomp music going. It's annoying. It screws with you. You know, you don't think right. You know, if you're the one playing it, it's great. But if you're the one having to listen to it three cars over, it's really annoying.
Right.
And so if you anchor further away from the bridge and let the chum do its thing, let the chum bring the fish away, it's quieter. They're actually following a scent, and you're going to catch more fish.
Right, and even though, you know, like cobia doesn't have a real distinct visible lateral line the way a snook does or a largemouth bass does, all fish have a type of lateral line that picks up all that vibration. That is their ears.
And that's a lot of ears.
It's a whole lot of ears, and they're super sensitive because they got to be able to feel vibration through the water of bait fish and predators that are coming after, everything. So they've got to be fully attuned to everything that's going on around them, and all that foot traffic and car traffic is just, you're right, it's absolutely 100% annoying to them.
So anyway, categorize that. Stay, get away back from the bridge, 100 yards away from the bridge. Let the chum bring them out to you, you know, get 200-300 feet away. Anyway, going back, we're at the Peace River down to 41. I guess let's do Port Charlotte canals.
The Port Charlotte canals, my canal is, it sucks.
Yeah, it's bad.
There's no other way to put it. It's terrible.
The only fish I know of is back up off the O'Hara, Manchester, Ackerman.
Yeah.
They've been doing still pretty good up there. A lot of redfish back in those little canals. The trout have pretty much gone.
Yeah.
But there is some big snook back there, some nice drum. But that's all that stuff back up off Midway, O'Hara, back in that area.
Right.
And there's some decent fish up there.
You know, the mouths of the canals, especially all around there in Alligator Bay, every one of the mouths are really pretty fishy right now. A lot of snook.
Well, I think the snook are all coming out. If we need to get some rain, right?
Yeah.
And we need rain real quick. Otherwise, all these fish are going to spawn at the mouth of the canals. Then we will get a rain, and all the eggs are going to die. We need them to go to the barrier islands. And a ton of snook out turtle. Well, we'll get out there Bull Bay, Turtle Bay. But the further out you get, the better snook fishing is getting.
Right. Well, and I think some of that rain that we have had has helped push some of those fish out faster because there's good fish there, but there's not great numbers of them. So I think a lot of them already have kind of boogied out. And as we get closer to the south, it kind of makes more sense. Mangrove snapper have been in there. That's about it, Once you move out and around the corner over towards the Myakka cutoff, there's been actually a couple pompano been caught in there this week.
Seen a lot of permit pompano caught up in the harbor.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, Jacquevel, blunt front, permit and pompano both have kind of a more arrowhead shape to them. They're not as blunt in the front, and the Jacquevel have much more yellow on them, but the pompano will have a little bit of yellow on it, the permit won't.
Right. Yeah, they're three fish that are fairly hard to identify if you're not super familiar with them by any stretch.
But over in the Myakka River,
up inside the Myakka, there's still some decent snook. It's not phenomenal by any stretch, but on the northern end, there's been some good redfish. All around Hog Island, there's been some decent redfish. There's been a few cobia, a lot of small sharks up there on that little grass flat. And then moving up towards Eljo Bean, kind of the same thing going on there. Night fishing's been pretty decent for the snook and some big mangrove snapper.
Even some tarpon there, I've heard of guys. Nobody's hooking up with the monsters yet, but they've got a lot of smaller tarpon they've hooked up with there at night. The snook, like you say, it's kind of a mixed bag there at Eljo at night, but it really happens. Your best bet if you want those fish is after 8, 9 o'clock at night. You know, you got to, yeah, it's getting hot, isn't it?
A little bit.
Yeah. And so.
A little feverish.
Yeah, I'm going through the same thing. I'm sorry. I was Typhoid Mary this time. It was me infected
everybody. Was my fault the last time. Now it's your fault.
But you started it.
No, I didn't start it.
Okay.
I'm going to blame Brandon for starting it.
Yeah, I bet that was what it was. Yeah, I'm sitting here sweating too. Anyway, going down the west wall.
West wall, there's a few trout on the outside edge of the bar, but mainly in like that 4 feet of water, but they're mainly down towards the southern part. Redfish are still like the same routine for the last couple weeks. They're there, but they're scattered. You can't stay in one spot for very long. 5-10 minutes, move on. I was talking to Robert Moore the other day. They went out, him and Bob Boudreaux went out playing for a little bit, which was good for both of them because Robert's needed that. They had a little bit of white bait, which has been next to impossible to find. They had some shrimp and they had some cut ladyfish. Every redfish they caught was on nothing but shrimp and cut ladyfish. Nothing wanted the white bait.
They actually found bait.
He said they got about 75 pieces of bait, but Bob had caught it the day before down in Boquillion, had it in his holding pen.
Gotcha.
So they didn't find anything up here. It was from the day before his trip. But they could not get those fish to hit any of that, just shrimp and cut ladyfish. They caught a few snook on the cut ladyfish.
Well, let's take a moment and talk about the shrimp for a second. Every day we're getting calls. You got hand picks, you got, you know, the big shrimp, got big shrimp. It's going to get harder and harder every day. We do get trucks in with some big ones, but it's less and less numbers of them every day. May and June, peewee shrimp season. Shrimp, their cycle, they grow up back here in the harbor, and then they move out starting around October, November. They're moving out of the harbor, going out. They live in deep water. They don't live in the harbor like the redfish, the tarpon, and all these other ones. Shrimp's one of those that grow up here and then leave. And there will be a few places that have some big shrimp, but it's going to get harder and harder to find.
And you got to be the lucky one to be there as soon as that truck happens to show up and hope that you can maybe get a few, but not a lot.
And it's going to get worse. And there's nothing, you know, it's not good shops or bad shops or whatever. It's just, this is the way it is.
It's been like this for hundreds of years.
Maybe millions. And you must speak to the deity of your choice. Ask him, you know, to make a double shrimp spawn a year. And that way we'll have big ones all year.
Right.
But without having a double spawn, then it's not going to happen.
Well, and the other aspect that puzzles me about it is everyone wants big shrimp. And I'm sorry, if the shrimpers are bringing in small shrimp, that means there's nothing but small shrimp around. So do you think the fish are actually sitting back going, I'm not going to eat that. I want to wait for a bigger shrimp to come by. Nope, I'm not going to eat any of those. They're too small. I mean, it's a match the hatch thing. I mean,
well, it's not even that.
The fish are used to that.
A legal redfish is a foot and a half long. And if you have a shrimp that's 6 inches, that's a third of his size of his body.
Right.
You know, yes, they do eat them, but it's much more likely to take a little tiny crab. We've got a lot of little crabs in stock, or a little shrimp. I mean, it's just nice little snack piece. You don't have to be really hungry to eat it.
Right.
It's like finger food. Like you walk by and there's, you know, I don't know, olives and M&Ms and stuff there. Why would you bother eating olive? It ain't big enough to feed you.
Right.
It's just tasty, you know.
So exactly.
Anyway, getting back, but that's one of the things that's going to be a real booger this year with less and less numbers of bait coming in and getting into the season where we could really use some monster shrimp right now. And we're just hoping that we get that miracle shot and they move in up north off that shallow gulf.
Right.
So, anyway, going back down, we're at the west wall. Let's hit Cape Hayes. The bar out there is probably one of the best places to actually find fish.
For a whole mixed variety of stuff. From right at Muddy Bay all the way out to Marker 5, there's little sharks all over it. Pompano, trout, Been a few incidental redfish out there too. There's some bigger bull reds.
Nice snook fishing.
Yep.
I mean, Cape Hayes is probably, if you want to take a boat and find your best variety of fish, that's probably going to be my call for best variety right now.
Yeah, a lot of ladyfish, some pompano, jacks. I mean, literally all sorts of stuff has been moving in and out of there. It's been pretty impressive.
And then going into Turtle Bay, a lot of redfish back in Turtle Bay. Snook seem to be kind of in that cusp between bull and turtle. But
they're moving a lot. You might go by one spot and there won't be a single snook there. Come back there a half hour later and it's got 50 snooks sitting in it.
Yeah.
You know, they are on the move.
Yeah, but the point there is that check one of the spots, fish it, and then if you don't hit anything, go hit a couple more spots, but come back to the other spot because it could light up. You know, an hour makes a big difference.
Right. The mouth of Gallagher's has been holding some pretty good snook and some redfish too, and some really pretty decent mangrove snapper. A lot of those mangrove snapper are moving out of that back canal, or back creeks, I should say.
Yeah, we're looking over at Bull Bay. A few sheephead left, some redfish, a lot of redfish scattered around in there and back and towards the back of Bull Bay into the tailing flats and what do they call it? Gasparilla Sound area back through there.
Right.
Devilfish, all that. Ko Palu, the backside's got some nice redfish on it.
Yeah, all that grass flat there is just loaded with all sorts of critters. Pinfish have been real stacked up in there. Ladyfish have been moving in there pretty well. A lot of little crabs moving around. It's kind of a good aspect of life is all happening right there right now. It's been pretty nice. And just move a lot. You know, I mean, I think the name of the game right now is move a lot because of fish. I don't care where you're fishing at. The fish are, that water temperature is right at that point where it's too warm here but too cold there, so they are scattered around. Plus they know that it's the moon phase and it's moving out towards those beaches and stuff like that, so they're constantly changing around a lot.
Okay, well, hang on just a second. Hang on. Well, I guess what about Placida, Robert?
Placida's been doing pretty well. Daytime fishing's, there's been bonnet heads, some black tips, a lot of miscellaneous little sharks. The big thing is right now with all these miscellaneous little sharks, the big sharks show up here to give birth. So there are some small juvenile bull sharks out there that are sometimes really tricky to distinguish from the other sharks. So anyone that's going to harvest one, make sure they really know their sharks or have one of those shark identification charts to make sure that they're taking the right shark.
Yeah, because bull sharks have to be 54 inches in order to keep them.
Right.
And a black tip doesn't. But bull sharks can have black ends towards the end of their tips. I mean, just because it's called a black tip doesn't mean it's the only one with the black tips on it. In fact, it doesn't have as many black tips as some of the other species do.
Yeah.
So, anyway, you really got to kind of know which one you're taking when you go after those sharks.
A lot of the game and fish officers carry around that fish identification chart with them because it is that hard for them even, and they deal with it every day.
Well, I'd like to think they do, but
I've talked to quite a few of them. They said they carry that list around, so it's kind of neat.
Yeah.
Mangrove snapper have been pretty decent. Spanish mackerel, some trout, pompano. All that's been off the Placida, Lemon Bay area. There's also been quite a few tarpon starting to move around on the beaches and through the ICW up and down, basically from Venice all the way down south. The further south you go, the better it is for the tarpon guys. Up in Lemon Bay around the docks are kind of slowing down a little bit. There's still a lot of snook stacking up underneath them, but they're moving around a lot. So that dock's got no fish, the next dock's got 100 fish, then an hour later it's reversed.
Well, I was trying to tell somebody the other day, I said, if you're sitting around, let's say here in the store, and you get hungry and there's no food, you're going to hang out at the store for a while, and then when you get hungry, you're going to go somewhere where there's food.
Right.
And then if you're not hungry, maybe you'll go back to the other place again for a while. But, you know, no creature just stays in one spot.
No.
And with fish, you know, you're motivated by feeding.
Food and temperature.
Yeah. And do you feel the need to spawn? Do you feel the need to eat? Is it cold? Is it, you know, all these things come into play. And there's not a reason for a fish just to stay in one spot.
Right.
I think the only ones that would really hang out one spot long periods of time in the inside would be the Goliath.
Right.
Because they're just going to stay there until they get too big for the spot, and then they'll go on to the next spot.
And even then, when they run out of food, they'll still move.
Yeah. But anyway, along the barrier islands, working down through Little Gasparilla, Gasparilla, Sanibel, Captiva, all them. What's going on along the beaches?
Whiting have really started to pick up the past few days. Had a lot more consistent reports on some better ones. Even a few guys catching those little juvenile baby bonefish that they think are whiting out there. Little 6 to 8 inches.
A lot of bonefish moving up?
Yeah, I had a guy bring in a picture and he thought they might have been whiting, but they looked different. He had 3 of them in a bucket. He didn't want to kill them, but right. He caught 3 in a row and he's like, this is just funny. They were about 5.5-6 inches long, and he had caught several, and that was at Inglewood Beach.
It's really weird how the bonefish more and more consistently each year are coming up here.
Right.
And I don't really understand why that's going on, but it was like before we had that big freeze, the snook were going way up to almost Steena Hatchie. They were up Tampa Bay thick, and they're just not supposed to be there.
Right.
And we had that big run of snook going north, north, north. Now we're seeing the bonefish. 10 years ago, we'd hear about one a year.
Right.
And now it's several reports a year of bonefish here, and I have no idea what's going on.
It's kind
of
neat.
The world is changing.
Yes.
Yes.
Without a doubt.
And I'm still stuck in 1975. I don't know why. I think the world evolves around me, and I just keep, I get it makes for a better view, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
If I don't have to worry about me changing, I can just watch the world change, it's more pleasant. But if I was going to walk to shore right now, I'd probably take a TT-18, maybe a, MR-17, but I'd probably go with a TT-18, cast it right along the shore and just twitch it, or go to the Storm Twitch Stick. That's the easiest one. It's got a lip. It's going to help you catch those fish. And just twitch it and jerk it. But walk out about knee-deep in the water, any morning, any evening, and just cast right along the shoreline. And I would say within 4 or 5 feet of the sand, and just twitch it back to you. And
absolutely,
you'll catch those snook.
There's jacks, blue runners. There's kind of a mixed variety of fish starting to move out along there right now.
And if you get down around Sanibel, Captiva area, you've got a real good shot of just tagging your tarpon right then.
Mm-hmm.
And daybreak, half hour before daybreak to about 8, 9 o'clock. And then, again, on the evening, it's getting dark, around 8 o'clock now?
Yeah.
So you've got from 6, 7 o'clock till 8, 9 o'clock to really get those fish, one end of the day or the other. And I'd almost go with that Storm because it's so much easier. If you're good at twitching a lure, try the mirror lure. If you're really not sure how to twitch that lure correctly, just use the Storm, because all you gotta do is start and stop it, kind of shake the rod around a little bit, and it'll work.
It's kind of a no-fail lure.
Yeah, it's crazy how good that thing is. But coming back down, let's go out in the Gulf for a minute. What's going on in the Gulf?
The Gulf is starting to light up really pretty well. There's bonita out there, some Spanish mackerel, a lot of cobia starting to show up around the wrecks. The king mackerel have been real good from Boca South, especially like Captiva down to Sanibel. Scott Duvall was out the other day playing around, and he got like 15 or 18 kingfish, never had to move off the spot. About every 5 or 10 minutes he got one. His biggest one was like 53 inches, and his smallest one was like 15 pounds.
Wow.
He got some really, really quality fish. He also caught one small scalloped hammerhead that was about a 5-footer. That was pretty cool.
Kale's been catching a lot of hammerheads inside.
The mangrove snapper have been really, really good out there at about, 8 to 15 miles.
I think you're looking for red grouper probably out around, what the heck is that?
It's a king.
That's a king?
There's like 3 pictures there.
Yeah.
That's a big one. It's a chunk.
That's amazing. Now, we got to get those posted up, let people see them. Any idea what he was using for bait?
He was using thread fins. He actually went out to look for tarpon down there at Knapp's Point, and they were not cooperating, so he ran about 6 miles out to a little spot out there. It's a little wreck. And just sat there and started chunking little pieces of thread fins and threw out live, you know, flat lines while he was fishing for mangrove snapper, and he said it was about a king every 10 minutes.
Yeah, I've been trying to find more pictures and get more numbers on our offshore stuff, near shore and that. I got a couple more up on the reefs pages, and working on getting some more of that stuff up. Let's work our way down towards Ponarasa, redfish, anything, redfish pass, Ponarasa pass?
A lot of tarpon moving around down in there. They're not catching them super consistently, but each day seems to be getting better and better with better numbers of fish.
Now, is that holding for Captiva, Boca?
All of it, yeah. I mean, the tarpon are moving in. I mean, guys were seeing them 30 miles offshore a week ago. Now guys are seeing them 10 miles offshore. Talking to Dwayne 2 days ago, he said they were in there for about 3 hours the day before, and then that day that I talked to him, he said they were in there for about 5 hours. And then a customer in yesterday said he saw fish in there off and on all day long.
So, yeah, Boca, Captiva, redfish, Ponarasa, there's fish in all of them right now. And it's kind of sporadic, anything from snappers to tarpon. You really got to mix and match your fishing styles. Don't go nuts with, you know, okay, this is how I'm going to fish for everything. You know, if you're not hitting anything, come up higher in the water column. If you're fishing higher, go down deeper. Mix and match your fishing techniques, even a little bit of free line and drifting.
Right.
Actually, because you don't know what's going to be there. Anything from a Spanish mackerel to a tarpon. I mean,
yeah, and have everything ready for you. You know, go out there anticipating one species, but carry some tackle for another, because
yeah,
one may not work out very well, so you can
take
always
your
switch
6
over.
To 14 for the little fish and your 15 to 40 for the other ones.
Right, exactly.
So
Captiva all the way down to Sanibel on the inside has got a lot of redfish scattered around some of those deeper sand holes, some big Spanish mackerel. The trout are down there, and they're bigger trout, but there's a lot less numbers of them. But I'm hearing of, you know, 3 to 5 pound trout down there, just but very, very inconsistent, but definitely better quality. Up around Rat Key and Cat Key, up underneath some of those deeper cuts, has been some really nice redfish and snook. And then on the backside towards Mat Lachey, kind of the same thing. A lot of those fish have moved out of those canals and are really starting to stack up around the bridge and the Indian fields pretty well.
Even down south there in those, you know, slow zones, they've got some beautiful redfish back there. It's still early enough in the season before Ding Darling is going to die. So, you know, Ding Darling, once it gets hot, it's a dead zone.
Right.
But right now, the water's still cool enough that anywhere around that outside of Ding Darling, you're going to do good on redfish and even the trout. It's got enough, the water's still cool enough, you know, nothing's going to die quite yet. It'll be another month before it dies out.
Absolutely.
So right now, you've got some really good fishing south of Mat Lachey as well as north.
Right.
Brings us up Two Pine. I've been hearing spectacular stories of Two Pines.
All sorts of fish there too, yeah. It's been kind of a smorgasbord there of Spanish mackerel, snook, redfish, some trout, pompano. I mean, it's a mixed bag. A lot of little tarpon and bigger tarpon mixing around out there on the flats and into the deeper channels.
Boquilla's doing good too. A lot of big snook. There's even bait down there.
Uh-huh. A lot of small sharks moving around on there, all assorted kinds. You know, like you said, Kale's been getting some of the juvenile or sub-adult hammerheads out there. Same way down on Boquilla. You know, there have been some big nurse sharks and some few big, really
well,
big lemons cruising
around. It's one of the few places that has, you know, bait fish that you can go catch. So
right.
There's a lot of people going down there looking for bait. They throw a lot of chum in the water. It helps bring a lot of that other fish around.
Absolutely.
And coming up around the east side, Pirate Harbor, we got Pirate Harbor. There's redfish out around the islands around there. Haven't heard too much out front. Anything up by the bar?
Not too much. There's been some bigger snook cruising around through there, but it's been mainly been right up along the shoreline for the snook, the mangrove snapper, and the redfish for the most part. Few small sharks out there on the flats and a few cobia too.
Yeah, catching some permit outside the bar down there. A lot of tarpon just sitting just outside the bar on 6-7 feet of water, just hanging out on the bottom for some reason.
Yeah, well, it's normal this time of year. They're just kind of scattered up and down there, and they're just sitting like logs laying in that 5 to 6 feet of water.
It's been a long trip to get here. They're just relaxing for a couple of days.
Yeah, I mean, the water's gin clear, so I mean, if you just either drift or use your trolling motor real slow and just watch. I mean, like I said earlier, even if you don't want to fish and you just want to learn,
You can just look. I mean,
yeah.
When you look,
it's like an aquarium
see,
right now.
You know, 150 pound fish, and you just sitting there staring at them, and I mean, it's just spectacular to see. It will definitely, whether you're into fishing or just into looking, it'll make your blood, it'll make your pulse pound.
Absolutely.
I mean, you'll get that little jittery in your hand. I mean, it's really cool. Coming back up on the east side, a lot of big redfish up on the east side right now.
Yeah.
Hearing great reports of that. A few trout scattered up and down the bar. Like I said, some pompano outside, tarpon. A lot of small sharks, bonnets up on the bar.
Yeah. Bonnets, cobia. Kind of a mixed array of stuff. And once again, they're still primarily hitting small shrimp and cut ladyfish and cut mullet. You know, they've both been working really, really well.
What about Alligator Creek? What's going on there? Snook, but that's about all
I've heard
about. In the
creek itself, yeah, it's been really pretty dead other than the few snook in there and an occasional small redfish. It's been pretty quiet. You know, it's going to be that way the rest of the year for the most part. You'll get your groups of ladyfish and jacks that'll start to move in and out of there as summer progresses, but it gets pretty quiet for
the rest
of the
year. Same thing going on with Ponce right now. The Ponce is real hit or miss. You're either going to go there and you're just going to have a ball or you're just going to sit there.
Absolutely.
It's either on or off. There's no dimmer switch on this. It's
no.
The light switch either comes on or it goes off.
Yeah, it's been super hot and cold. There's no question about that. And that's the way PGI and Port Charlotte canals have kind of been the same way. PGI canals have been a little bit more consistent back inside, but even this last week they've slowed down just a touch. The 20-foot holes and the Alligator Creek Reef are holding tarpon, jewfish / goliath grouper, whatever you want to call them. A lot of big mangrove snapper on the Alligator Creek Reef. Still been a few oddball sheep's head hanging around there.
I think you can pretty much call that on all three of the holes out there in the harbor. There's just all three of them, you know, the tarpon are in one, the other, or the other. And there's grouper on the bottom, there's gag grouper, there's goliath, there's...
Been some big goliaths. We had a guy tarpon fishing the other day and got like a 300-pound goliath.
Yeah, I think they're coming up to eat the small tarpon or the small sharks or whatever.
I mean, and I think
those 300-pound goliaths will get anything under 3 foot is pretty much lunch.
Yeah, and they start to move out, you know, they move out of the... You know,
I didn't know there was any fish that would eat a shark outside of a shark.
Pretty cool, huh?
You watch those goliath come up, and they just swallow them whole.
Oh, yeah.
What kind of stomach lining do you have to eat a 3-foot shark live and swallow it?
Right.
I mean...
It's unbelievable. I mean, what do you think their crushers are in the back of their throat? If they can immobilize that animal like that, still swallow it? Crazy.
That's scary fish.
There used to be a fish store down in Fort Myers, and they had like about a 1,000-gallon aquarium, and they had small nurse sharks and small lemon sharks at the time. And they also had a couple of gag grouper. They had the permits for it. They had some snook in there and stuff, just totally a display tank. But every now and then, those like 24-inch gag grouper would eat like their 16, 18-inch nurse shark. They'd come in and it'd be gone, or it'd be just the tail sticking out of the grouper.
It's just, I mean, I can't even imagine that. You know, and here's people going, oh, give me a Tums, give me this, give me that. You know, I mean, you're eating, you know, prepared food. You're not eating a live shark. I mean,
right.
I mean, I think the scientists got it all wrong. If you want to cure stomach problems, just start looking at a grouper stomach. Figure out what they did.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my God. But... I think that brings us back around up by the 41, and anything else we need to go over today?
It's getting awesome. Just be ready for it and get all your stuff prepared. Don't wait until the last second, because it's going to happen, and take every rod you've got with you for every fishing situation possible, because it's
different rods. It takes very
different
light,
varieties.
Medium, heavy, really heavy.
From bluegill to goliath grouper, be prepared for all of it.
Yeah, from half-pound mangrove snapper to a 300-pound goliath grouper. You just don't know what you're going to run into out there right now.
Yeah, it's
incredible. Amazing, and the weather's beautiful. We got a little wind here and there, but nothing terrible. You can find your way out of the winds. The tides are cooperating pretty good. This is, right now, actually a pretty good time to be in Florida. I know it's getting nice up north, but it's you know, nasty and nice and, I don't know.
Typical northern weather.
Yeah, typical springtime muck. You know, this would be a great time if you get tired of the slush and melting snow and the mud and everything else. Come down and trade that mud for a little Florida sand. It ain't all bad.
Yes, definitely.
It ain't all bad right now. I mean, we... I gotta get Greg in here to show me how to use that stupid thermostat so we can get this AC kicked on the back here. Turn the AC on. I don't know if he shut the thermostat off or what he did, but I can't figure the thermostat out.
Well, you turned the AC on already?
Yeah, I've been trying to, but it won't go on. So I've been using the big portables up in the front. Okay. Anyway, as they say, this is Fish and Frank. And we got Bobby's going to come in, and she wrote a song about Fish and Frank's. It's really cool. It's a great little song, and Bobby's a wonderful singer. And
that'll be awesome to hear that.
Yeah, I've got the words over here. It's cute. It's a really neat little song. We got to get Bobby to come in and record it. We're going to be using that. And if anybody else has a song about the outdoors, fishing or whatever, they'd like to have highlighted on the show, just stop in. We can either record it right here or bring it in pre-recorded, and we'll just add it to the list and link to your website and, you know, try and get people's attention for you. But this is Fish and Frank, and that was Robert in the chair there, and so we will see you guys on the next Radio Fishing. Bye-bye.